When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. I think we have all known there's been a lot of chat in the Twitterverse, and I'm going to be dealing with this issue, and I'm going to be dealing with it myself. Unfortunately, very unfortunately, and much to my tremendous sadness, Janice is no longer a part of the podcast, and this is concluding what is roughly a 9-year relationship that I have had with her. And as shocked as you are and as sad as you are, I want you to know I feel the exact same way. I'm not going to discuss the details of the situation for two reasons. The first of which is that, to be honest, I don't fully understand it. I have my theories, I have my ideas about it, but I don't fully understand it. And the second of which is that it's not fair. It's not right to discuss and guess and theorize on a host of different circumstances and situations without her being here, being able to share her thoughts and her opinions and her feelings and her side and all of that. It would be wrong. What I can tell you is that I'll do my absolute best to bring you an amazing show, and that she cannot be replaced, which I think we all know. A very close friend of mine named Michelle Fanucci is going to be helping me out for a while to produce the show. Jake will still be here. Autumn will still be here. And, of course, your regular favorites, be it Giancarlo, Heidi, Andy, Dr. Van Hurley, my mom, etc., will, of course, all still be a part of the show, sharing their lives and information. I'm going to introduce Michelle to you right now and tell you a little bit about her and, of course, how we met. So Michelle and I met. You were my producer on the Today Show.
That's right.
You poor thing.
I know. And I think when I met you, I had a broken leg.
You
and
did.
I was on crutches, and you probably thought I was a big wuss.
No, but I didn't. I thought you were a badass. You hobbled over to me with your broken foot.
Oh, God.
And she was saddled with, being forced to produce this Biggest Loser trainer. Do you remember that?
That's right. No, I loved it, though.
No, you dude. You were producing everybody, Matt Lauer and Al and Meredith Vieira, and they're like, by the way, can you do these fitness segments with Jillian Michaels? You were a very good sport.
Oh, no. When I met Jillian,
you were doll fake it.
No, she came up to the office with me, and she had a list of all these segment ideas about, you know, empowering women, everything she's been about. And I thought she was just really badass, and I thought she was a good person, and we've still been friends ever since.
And some of you may be familiar with Michelle as well, because when we did the Daily Dose with Janice, so Michelle knows Janice, and they were very good friends, and she understands the dynamic of the podcast. Michelle produced all those Daily Dose segments as a favor to me, and she's currently working at CBS News, but is doing this as a favor to me at the moment, and I could not be happier. So, well, I'm very sad to lose Janice, but I couldn't be happier that you are the one that's helping me get through this transition. So, with that said, we're going to take a little break and we are going to begin the show. This segment was born because on the road while I was touring, my little sister was helping me with the Q&A and thought it would be funny to select a question about how to stop farting in yoga. And so I emailed Michelle and I was like, I think we need to have a best worst segment. I feel I can address this question. I did address the question. There are answers. But then Michelle responded back with a list of yoga peeves that really piss her off. And I was like, you know what? We should expand the scope of this. Mm-hmm. So that's really what this segment is about. And my very close friend and co-fitness professional, Andrew Orbeck's here today.
Hello.
So... yeah, so we're going to be addressing this. First, though, I would like to address if you are farting in yoga, which sometimes you have to fart. Sometimes you have to fart, especially in down dog, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's just the bottom line is air is going up. Yeah, okay. So if this is a problem, I have a few suggestions. The first of which is don't eat a ton of fibrous food before yoga. For God's sake. And don't eat at least 60 minutes. Mm. Like, give yourself at least 60 minutes before. It's A, not good for you with any form of exercise, because mm-hmm. all the blood's going to your stomach to digest the food. Another thing, that take some Beano, for God's sake. Mm. Yeah. Digestive enzymes help with the gas. And another solution, because I am solution-based, is charcoal tablets.
Oh.
I used to do those when I ran, because I would get that stitch.
That works.
It does work. Yeah. They trap gas, and then you're not ripping ass in yoga.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where do you get those?
Any health food store, man. Okay. They're just little tabs of charcoal. And it just, yeah, it saves, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
So there's, I'm trying to help.
That's very helpful. I didn't know what you were going to come up with. So
now, all right. Michelle was so irked by... the thought of that she sent me a list of all the things in yoga that she finds offensive. And I tend to agree. So now's your opportunity to just let yourself go with this. I have a few of my own, by the way, that I would like to address, and as does Andy. Yeah. So we're going to vent.
All right. The one that drives me the most crazy is when, you know, it takes a long time to block everything out in your mind and gain focus. So by the time I'm there, and this happens in every single class, without failure, there is someone who's completely checked out and will let out a sigh that distracts the entire class. And the class usually giggles and laughs, but the sigh sounds something like this. It's like, ah! And it's like, what?
That might be me, I think, Andy. I might be that person.
I mean,
in class.
That did actually feel really nice.
See?
I mean, I get that. I'm someone that likes to breathe and let it out. But the whole class shouldn't start to giggle and laugh. It's
well, here's what bothers me then. I hate the classes that make you chant.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no.
I feel like
I'm me in these classes, so I'm a little cynical, I'm a little jaded, I'm a little bit mechanical, so when I go in, I think I want to go through the motions, and I want to be stretched, and I want to kind of feel what it is, but some of them go to a different plane, and mm-hmm. I don't do that I'd never do that, and so it wigs me out a little bit when people moan, and the defenders of the moan would say it's part of the practice.
That is different! That's that whole, like, yogi breathing!
Yeah.
And sometimes it just sounds very sexual, and it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's very, you know, I think it's a little bit rude.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree here.
You know, we're all in this together. We're standing very close to each other, and we need to be respectful of our environment, which brings me to number two or three. What are we on?
No, well, we're on three.
Three. Putting your mat right up against
why?
Someone.
Just why? Why? And by the way, this is not just yoga where this pisses me off. Like the other day, we were at the airport. We're on the way home. We arrive at the gate. There is a plethora of available seats to occupy yourself while you wait to board the plane. I sit down, Heidi sits down, and a woman walks past 25 available seats to sit right next to me.
That's because it's you.
No, no. We were in Europe. She didn't know who I was. It was bizarre. And I just don't, why?
Well, I can see in yoga, I think people don't understand why? Personal space. They go in there and they want intimacy and they want connection. And
the
they
strangers?
Want, and it's weird. Hmm. I don't want to sing Kumbaya. Don't touch my mat. Don't hold my hand. Don't do that. It's gross. It's inappropriate. You feel violated. Don't do that. Keep your toes on your mat. Don't crowd them onto mine and then look at me like we're one. We're not one. We're just two mats.
Why, though? I can't stand that. That's terrible. Here's one of mine, and I am jumping out of order, Michelle.
Go for it.
Please do a mirror check on your yoga pants. Please, God. Walk over to your mirror, bend over, look between your legs into the mirror, and if you can see all your bits and bobs, so can I. I am not an OBGYN, and I don't want to know this about you. It's too much information. And another thing, a girl was inverted the other day doing like a headstand or something, and her upper area, the whole upper area just fell out of her top. And she didn't come out of the pose to be like, pardon me, let me place my mammary area back into my clothes. And I looked at Heidi like, what is this? Wow. Is this happening? Is this happening right now?
I mean, it's good that she's comfortable and she's one with her body, but you also have to remember that
it's not nude yoga.
People may not be comfortable with that. And again, it's the distraction factor that, again, in yoga, we're trying to be very focused.
Yeah.
Social rules still apply. You're still with a group of people that you don't know. And you're not on a nude beach.
Exactly.
There should be no nipples.
Or other see-through
or other part
areas. And here's the thing. You may think, by the way, this is easy. If your pants, your capri or your whatever has padding or an extra layer, you're generally good. But there's a whole problem sometimes where you wash these clothes a few times and they degenerate a bit.
They thin out.
They thin out.
Yeah.
This was a whole scandal in with Lululemon pants. Do you remember this?
Yeah, and then statistically men's interest in yoga went up
exponentially
at the same
only
time.
Reason he goes to yoga. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I am not kidding. I'm going to see if I can get him on the phone.
Yeah, where's this naked yoga place you guys are talking about?
Hey, G.
Yes.
Tell me the number one reason you go to yoga, please.
The number one reason I go to yoga?
Don't lie. See? You see?
Except you're live?
Yep.
Yep, the number one reason I go to yoga is to see right through with Miss Pants in front of me.
Thank you. That's all I needed.
Confirmed.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Okay, you see what, ladies, you see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Happy baby, man, that is the pose.
Happy baby is the worst.
I cannot relax in that pose. I just think the teacher's like coming by and you know.
Yeah, looking. It's just, it's wrong.
I mean, I guess it's a good pose, but
for black thick pants.
Very black thick pants. Yeah,
thin white pants.
No.
No one's happy.
No. Not at all. All right. Here's another one. Oh, I really like this one that you did, Michelle. Deciding to do your own thing with poses that distract everyone else from following the teacher. Yeah. And it says it's one thing to take child's pose every so often, but flipping into a revolved side angle when everyone else is trying to balance in tree is just rude.
I think it's extremely rude.
Yeah. And it makes me feel insecure.
I'm like, why is she doing a handstand?
Yeah, you're like a show-off.
You're a show-off face.
You're supposed to go in there and not be egoic.
Yeah,
and
you're show-off magoo.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, though, if I could do the handstand, I would do that, though.
Yeah, but you would go to a class.
But that would make me an a-hole. But if I could do that, I would do that, though.
But you would challenge yourself and go to a class that requires it as part of the practice, rather than doing it when all these other people were just in, you know, warrior.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes
it's rude.
That makes you an a-hole. And all right, here's another one. And I may have done this. Maybe you should read this last one, Michelle.
What's that?
Your last peeve there.
Show me.
That one.
Oh God. Why even go to yoga? If I mean, you are a phony. If you go to yoga and then you walk out at Shavasana, which is the most important part.
Am I right, Andy?
I stay always
if I can.
If I can,
you
if I
leave
can.
Too, girl.
If I can,
but
well,
if,
we're busy.
If my cell that I shouldn't have brought starts buzzing, I got it. I'm out of there. I'm teasing. I don't bring my phone in.
I do. But I put it on.
I understand. Look, there's times where.
Well, it could be the kids.
Yeah, it's very hard to check out. I can't be judgmental, but just be quiet. Tiptoe, don't make a big scene. You know, try to have your stuff kind of packed up beforehand.
Here's the other thing. I don't need to take a nap with these people. I got my workout.
You guys don't like it.
I burn my calories. I have to go. I know. And here's the other thing. Because where I take yoga, I do have a reason for this. Where I take yoga, they have no showers. And I just like this one teacher, and it has inconvenienced the hell out of me. I need to let her know. So they have no showers, and it's a tiny little bathroom, and it's like I'm sweating, and I'm disgusting, and I'm like, I have to get in there. I have to rinse, clean myself as quickly as possible and change my clothes.
And that class is packed.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't be naked with strangers. I'm famous. Famous people can't be naked with strangers. I need to get in there quick. And I got to get into a stall, and other people may have to pee, but I need to change in there because, as I said, I'm famous. I can't have somebody posting about my personal parts, which is A, why I don't wear see-through clothes, as I just said. So that might be why I leave Shavasana a little early.
All right. Fair.
It's protective.
Yes, it is.
You have a good excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Autumn's here with my food. Hello!
Yay!
Welcome. Woo!
Love.
Oh, I thought you were doing Captain and Tennille, but you're too young for that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Love. Andy, back up here. Andy.
I don't know it.
What?
I don't.
Love will bring us together.
Oh, of course I know that.
Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, I know that.
Well, why aren't you singing?
Because
that's our favorite love song.
Love if I chime in.
One, you're like a dream come
true.
No one
will.
Two,
yeah.
Just want to be with you. Come on, what's your favorite love song?
Never mind, he was waving at you.
Who's waving at me?
Rick was waving at you.
Oh, Rick was waving at me. He must love me.
Yeah.
Rick Dees was just waving at me while we were singing.
Oh, really?
Maybe he'll play us on the radio and make our little rendition of Captain and Tennille a top 40.
There you go.
Okay, now then.
Okay.
Favorite love songs, though, before we start this, real quickly.
I really am not into that.
Mm.
I don't like any, like, I really hate, like, making love. Like, I hate that. I hate, I hate the term making love. I hate the term this is my lover. I think that's just so disgusting.
Mm. Andy?
No, I'm not me either.
Yeah.
You guys don't like those, like, boys to men love songs?
No. What is with all you millennials in this whole 90s thing that you guys are doing? It's wrong. It's just wrong. Like, Heidi and I were in Amsterdam, and we went to a gay bar, right? And a men's gay bar, because we thought there's a big nightclub there called the Paradiso, and it's kind of iconic, like, to them, like, what the Limelight was to Manhattan ages ago. And I was like, let's go hang out with the boys tonight. Like, we generally have fun doing that. And I was so effing miserable, because every song was 15 years old, and it was like... When a hero comes, I wanted to kill my. It was that, and then it was like
that's a buzz
Spice
kill.
Girls,
no,
and then
kill.
it was like Backstreet's back, all right, and all of these young gay men
are singing every song. And I was like, listen to me. If we're going to bring back the 90s, we need to do this right. It needs to be like, it smells like Teen Spirit. It needs to be like crowd pleasers.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, all right. Come on. Let's get on. Yeah, all right. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But that's like more
that gets
like
the love green light for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Well, we're bringing this up, of course, because it's Valentine's Day,
yeah.
Ladies, gentlemen. I really hate Valentine's Day.
So do I.
I often dreaded Valentine's Day more so than I've dreaded the holidays. I'm not going to kid you here. Single or even in a committed relationship. In fact, Heidi looked at me the other day and she goes, so romantic. She goes, honey, we don't have to get each other anything, do we? And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, it's already just a pain in the ass.
Mm.
It's like, ugh, the expectations.
I've never felt more cheesy than on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I've never felt like it was, this is my moment to tell you how I feel about you, baby. This is the day.
It's like you wait all year.
And here's the card. You know? You're like, what?
Here's the card.
And here's the card, baby.
I'm going to watch you read it.
Yeah? I'm going to watch you read it.
It was written by somebody who's employed by Hallmark, but I feel the same way about you, too.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like, and then we're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And then I'm like, ugh. And every day I keep thinking, I got to make a reservation. No. But where it's like everything's booked, and then you're sitting with a bunch of people who had to make a reservation. It's just so...
It's forced. It's forced.
Forced and commercial.
Yeah.
But look, what good can we get out of Valentine's Day?
Well, see, here's why Michelle is doing that segue, because she wrote up a list of suggestions.
Oh, let's hear it.
Michelle is actually trying to produce me, which I think is funny. So she's like, you know, Valentine's Day is coming, Jill. And I was like, oh, God, no. So, all right. But I think these are good. I think these are good, buddy. So here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Michelle wrote this up.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it. Valentine's Day. Yes, oh, that day, that much maligned, much cherished, much hated, and much misunderstood day of the year. For those who won't be going on a hot date with their special Valentine,
it can
be a hard day for many who've lost their significant other, gone through a divorce, etc. My God,
yeah.
Girl, just take me all the way down. Now I'm a widower, and I'm divorced. Yeah. All right, hold on.
Single moms?
Jillian, I was thinking you could talk about celebrating V-Day in a different way, honoring it as a, quote, love day or a random acts of kindness day. I've drawn up some talking points for you to think about.
Oh, you're exploiting me.
Yeah, this is what she does when you write anything for her.
Humiliating.
All right, I'll take it. Here we go. Call or write your friends and family and tell them you love them.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shmand?
I would do it.
Make
I would
it a
do
day
it.
About
I
love.
Would,
you know?
I would decommercialize it and unromanticize the hype and cliche, and I would make it about something else and say, you know what? Yeah. I love you, girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's gay.
No, it's about love.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are a lot of women out
if
there.
If you wrote me and said, I love you, girlfriend, I would be like, what is wrong with you today?
No, I would refuse to have you see that. I would, and you love me too, I'd make you say. I know you do love me.
I love you for playing along. I feel
oh
like
my God, this is uncomfortable.
It's too
this
bad.
Is weird.
Look at her;
no.
She's turning pink.
This
and her
is
eyes
so
are
odd. Oh
no,
my God!
Jillian,
Look, no.
Okay. I think I need to set this up better. All right, there. As we just kind of like trashed Valentine's Day, how cheesy it is, but there are women and men.
Yes. Okay.
Who every year, every day, every year, this date comes around, they go, oh, I don't have anyone. And they feel bad. They feel
or
sad.
If you do, you have all these obligations to do something.
That's a different thing. But they feel left out. They feel sad. They feel unloved. But, you know, it's not about, like, having someone. It's about appreciating love around
you. I get
it.
You're not wrong. All right. Well,
I sign on to that, too. That's
fine.
Lovely.
All right. Let your friends know.
Yeah, the people
and
that
you
have in your
them.
Life, you know,
if
focus
they're of the
on
same
them.
Sex, yeah. It might be latently homosexual, but that's fine. I can just see one guy or a few male listeners that introduce themselves to me at the our live shows. I can just see them calling, hey, buddy, I just want to let you. Jake, are you going to reach out to your buddies and let them know you love them?
Since I'm alone on Valentine's Day, I don't see why not.
There we go.
These men do have bromances.
You can say, I love you, man. That's cool.
They do. They've got these bromances.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Yeah, we do. I just did a bromance Vegas trip. I just got back yesterday.
Yeah, look, they have these things together. These things, these. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. Ooh, this is a heavy one. Mm. You're going to have to explain yourself, Michelle. Mm. Forgive anyone you need to forgive.
Yeah, because when you're holding on to resentment and you haven't forgiven, you're disallowing yourself to be able to love. And this segment's about loving.
Oh.
So why don't we,
yeah,
you know, forgive people,
okay,
and open up space for love?
I know you, and mm-hmm. I know that you are a grudge holder, just like I am.
Oh my God, I know. I as I said that, I sound like Buddha and Gandhi or whatever, but it's not really who I am. It didn't feel right.
I would send somebody a box of chocolates, and I would take a bite out of each one.
Oh!
And then I'd be like, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm over that situation, but here you go.
F you. Whatever jerk. You need to do, do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, fine. We'll call it Revenge Day. Boy, is this taking a turn.
Yeah.
This is good. I really like this one, and I advocate this on more days than just Valentine's Day. Do something nice for a total stranger.
Yes.
I think that's such an important one.
Mm-hmm.
These random acts of kindness, I really think they have the power to change the world. I think they reinstill our faith in humanity.
Yeah. And I
really do.
And if you guys are with us, why don't you tweet about what you did? You know?
Well, yeah.
Let's hear about it, but we need like a hashtag.
Okay, what should we say? Hashtag
Julian's
random Julian. random sweetheart. Like as
a random act.
And only 142 characters.
Julian's Valentine's Day quiz.
That's the whole Twitter. That's the whole 140 characters.
Right. Well, you know how Christmas.
Hashtag nice guy.
Well, you know how Christmas is to Secret Santa.
Yeah.
You could make Valentine's to like a secret sweetie or a secret
Valentine. Secret sweetie. Do we like
that? Secret sweetie. Yeah. So they tell us what they did and they hashtag secret sweetie.
Yeah.
Secret sweetie.
Secret sweetie.
I do too.
SWEETIE.
SWEETIE.
Thank you, Jake.
Secret sweetie. I like it. All right. We all have to do something nice for a stranger.
Done.
Okay. Whoa. What did you write here?
What?
Andy, I can't read this.
Practice self-love. Focus
on
three things you love about yourself. Take time for a run or bath. Buy yourself flowers, etc.
Oh, my God. What are you trying to say there?
Love yourself.
You said take a bath.
That's the one thing I... What do you mean?
She knows.
I take baths with self-love. I love taking a bath.
This is...
What? I'm lost.
Oh, my God.
What?
I practice self-love every day.
I was trying to think of...
I know you do.
I was trying to think of free options because I know, you know, people can't, like, buy a massage.
Are you trying to masturbate?
No!
Oh,
like, you sick freak. That is not what I was talking about. You know, making a nice bubble bath and soaking in the water, some sea salts for your, you know, sore muscles. It's great.
No.
It's love.
Okay.
Light a candle. Sometimes I light a candle. It's not about that.
Practice self-love?
I mean...
Fine. I feel like, yeah, okay, I mean, do something nice for yourself, but you don't need to say self-love.
God.
A little self-seduction. It's not your average, you know, routine. You just take a break out of your routine.
I just don't know, like,
make
self-love.
It romantic.
I mean, like, self-love is like saying, I'm going to make love to you, but to yourself.
Well, what do you call it? You talk about this all the time.
Self-care.
I didn't think you'd ever laugh at me for this.
I don't know, self-care? Really? Autumn, go practice some self-love. Call Michael right now and say, babe, on Valentine's Day, I'm going to do self-love. He's going to say, can I watch? Really?
Oh,
seriously? Self-love.
Yeah. Babe, while
amazing.
You're making dinner for my super special lady day, because that's what we call Valentine's Day.
Super special lady day?
That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
So he makes me dinner. So I'll self-love until the timer dings.
Oh, my God.
And then I'll come eat. It'll be perfect.
There you go.
Wash your hands.
I'm kidding.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, jeez.
To the runners, the lifters, the weekend warriors, and the triathletes. All kidding aside with my stupid voice, injuries are a fact of life, period. You work out, you're likely going to get hurt at some point. It just happens. And if you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, there's a really cool new product called Arctic Ease. And they make these cold wraps that are literally instant. And you've never experienced anything like it because there's never been anything like Arctic Ease before. It's cold therapy you use while you're still active. So while you're running, while you're biking, while you're lifting. And honestly, it keeps your joints or your muscles wrapped and cool to help manage inflammation and any kind of pain. They stay in place while giving you
almost identical recovery benefits to ice therapy. There's no freezer needed, which is also super cool. It fits comfortably, no bulky ice, no freezing hands trying to hold it on. They're reusable, which is cool. They are clinically tested and proven effective. So put Arcticese on and you have instantly targeted cold and compression therapy where you need it before, during, and after exercise. For pain, for swelling, for injuries, long-lasting cold therapy compression. You got to try it. It's the bomb diggity. So don't put your training on ice. Hee hee, little pun, forgive me. Go right now and get your reusable Arcticese cold wraps at your local retailer. Instant cooling relief when and where you need it. Or just check it out at arcticease.com. It's in between meals. You're hungry. You're in search of an energy boost. But who wants to stomach yet another tasteless, may I say, calorie-laden energy bar or another handful of dry, roasted, unsalted nuts? Might I just say boring? It is. It is, though. You know it is. Come on. Do what I do. Get delicious, wholesome snacks at naturebox.com. They have over 100 nutritionist-approved snacks with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams of trans fats, no high-fructose corn syrup. You'll even find snacks with no added sugar, without gluten. You want it. They got it. They all taste delicious. They are all Jillian-approved, which, of course, as you know, means no chemical crap. My latest preference is the Big Island pineapple snack. It's delicious. And now I want to give you the chance to try NatureBox for free with a trial box featuring 5 of their most popular snacks. That's right, you heard me. Free food, people. Get excited. So start your free trial right now by going to naturebox.com/Jillian. You know you're going to snack. Get smart about it with NatureBox. One more time, naturebox.com/Jillian. Get your free trial now.
All right, Jillian Michaels, put your Love Doctor lab coat on.
The doctor's in.
The doctor's in.
The doctor is in, yeah.
We have Natalie on the line for you.
Hey, Natalie, how you doing, girl?
That's not actually
how the doctor talks. I'm sorry. Well, first of all, Natalie, let me tell you that one of my best friends, Andrea Orbeck, is here, who's actually also a fitness professional. But she's more than willing to co-doctor with me today, if you don't mind.
And I'm thrilled. We're both from Alberta, so it's going to work out perfectly.
That's right. A fellow Canuck.
Hello, Natalie.
All right, so I have to be, I have to get into my character here. So,
Yes,
Natalie, how can I help?
Well, oh my God, I can't be serious with that voice. Let me try again. So I've been in a relationship for over 6 years now. For me, it's going great. I am extremely happy. Things seem fine. It has recently come to my attention, though, that my boyfriend is concerned about the fireworks. He's feeling some doubts. We've talked about moving in without the current roommates we have, just on our own. He has some doubts. Now I'm freaking out because I thought it was great. Do I stay with him? Should we be moving in together? Will that fix it? Like, how do you get past that?
Okay. Well, hold on. I think the first thing is, what has he said? And what was the conversation?
Yeah.
So we had talked about moving out, and it was all good. We had agreed.
Moving out where you're currently at and moving in solo together.
Right. We currently live together with 3 other people.
Got it. Right. Okay.
And we decide, okay, well, you know, let's take it to the next level, just the 2 of us. And we found a place. The night before, he backed up. I won't say he lost it. He very calmly lost it and just said, whoa, 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 I think I'm doing this just for you. I'm not sure I really want to do this yet. I have some doubts. So we let it go. I said, okay, that's fine. Take your time. We'll talk about it later. We talked about it later, and the doubts are still there. Day to day, it's great. It's fine. We're happy. I don't see any issue. But when we talk about that next step, that's when he starts to get cold feet.
Okay, and has he expressed why? What his cold feet are?
I'm going based on what I think, what I understand.
There's your first problem.
Yeah.
Right there, sweetie. That is the worst mistake you can make, is guessing and assuming, because you're going to project your own issues into the situation, and you need to know exactly what's going on with him. But I think I'm most concerned about why he hasn't told you.
Well, he tells me stuff, but I don't know if, like, what he tells me, I understand, you know, I can hear what he's saying, but I don't know if I'm understanding what he's saying.
Okay, give me an example. What's he saying?
He'll say things like, I'm concerned that in the long run, it may not work out. And it would be a big step to move in with just the two of us. It would, you know, if it doesn't work out, that's much harder to fix if it's just the two of us than when there's five people living together.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Here's my question. Is the issue his intimacy problems, or is the issue systemic within the relationship, as in he doesn't know if he can build a life with you, or you don't have clarification on it?
I'm afraid it could be the issue of the lifelong connection. It's just day-to-day, it's great, which is why I don't understand where this is coming from. Like, we both seem very happy together. We have a great time.
Stop.
Whatever.
Stop. Okay. Right now, you are functioning completely in the dark, and you guys aren't communicating at all, sweetie. And right. It sounds like there's an issue, and we don't know if it's his issue. We don't know if it's an issue that has to do with your dynamic. And you guys sound like he's like, oh, I have an issue. And then you guys are like, okay, let's forget about the issue. Denial. And you go back to the way you're living. Yeah. And the only way, and it's like, you're like, okay, I don't want to know. Let's go back to the way things were. Things are good. And then it's like, they're not though, because of course with any neglect or, you know, you don't do anything, the problem is going to get worse, not better. And it sounds like the number one thing you need to do is sit down and have an in-depth conversation, which both of you are trying to avoid, which, by the way, could be one of the very things that keeps you together, is that you both are like, okay, let's not talk about uncomfortable things. Okay.
That could be true. Yep.
Well, and I'm also concerned, this is Andrew speaking, you guys already live together. So it's almost like saying intimacy with you means dropping two other people that were living together, which doesn't make sense and really requires a conversation anyway, because you guys do live together. So you're cohabitating already. So whoever's in your periphery, the other roommates, shouldn't really be a factor in where he's at. So if he's fine living with four people or three other people, living alone, you know what I mean, shouldn't be too much of a step. He's already residing with his girlfriend.
Which I think makes sense. It's not, I think it would only get better. We won't have people around all the time. We can, you know, hang out whenever, wherever.
You need to... get into some couples counseling ASAP, and you guys need to A, learn how to communicate, and B, figure out why you're so afraid to communicate. And you don't really, sweetie, you don't really want to communicate. You don't really want to know the answer to this, which is why you're just like, okay, let's go back the way the things were fine. Things are fine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with this. And I really think it's systemic of a much bigger issue. And the issue is not about the sparks in the relationship. I don't even think it's so much about the relationship. I think it's both about, I think you've bonded over your inability to want to talk and to want to share yourselves. And I think this issue is now, you're starting to go, wait a minute, I think something's not right here. And as you begin to uncover this, this reminds me, a friend of ours, you know who said this? Andy Collin said this once. He's like, issues from our past are kind of like an archaeological dig. All of a sudden, one day you'll come across like a little pyramid head, and you're like, what is this? And as you start digging, you don't know how big the structure is, what the structure is, how wide it is, how long it is, how deep it goes. Mm-hmm. And you've definitely like, ding, you found something here, a very big issue for yourself that I think you share with this guy. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it will work out with him, but for yourself, this is something you need to work on immediately and you need to rectify. I suggest couples therapy. And if he is not on board, this is a much bigger problem. You need to get in your own therapy and start dealing with this. And as you get stronger, it's going to allow you to kind of progress into a relationship where you are able to communicate, because no successful relationship will tolerate a lack of communication.
Uh-huh. What's the question I'm asking, though? Like, when I
you're not, you're telling me that you are incapable of dealing with the reality of the relationship, and so is he. You're not asking me a question. You think you are, but you're not. You've couched a scenario under the pretense of, I don't know why the spark is run out. And that's not at all what this is about. This is about, you know, we have a problem. Neither one of us know what it is. Neither one of us are able to communicate about it. I'm terrified of communicating about it. The spark's run out. Which is you pretending like that's what it's about, because dealing with what it's really about is too scary for you, honey.
So how do you, how do you approach what, how do you figure out what it is? What
you,
do
you get into what, therapy and you say,
couples therapy.
You get into couples therapy and you say, I just realized we have a massive problem. We've lived together for 6 years. We've surrounded ourselves, by the way, with other people. So we never actually have to just relate to one another,
yep.
which is what you've done. And we've never actually had to just communicate with one another. And the minute it became, hold on, it's just going to be us. He got cold feet and I didn't bother to push him as to why. And I realized we have a problem. So I would like to get to the bottom of the problem so we either move on and have healthy relationships with other people or move on and have a healthy relationship together.
How do you think he'll feel about the couples therapy?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I would totally be down for it. I am, you know, everyone needs therapy all the time, but I don't have any idea how he will react to that. I don't even know how to approach that.
Then, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Sweetie, listen to what you just said to me.
Yeah.
But how do you say that to someone?
Ready? Here we go. Babe. No, honey. Here's what you say. Babe, I mean, we've lived together for 6 years in a house full of other people. When the time came for us to make that next, what would seemingly be an obvious step, you got cold feet and then we didn't discuss it again. And we're just pretending like nothing's wrong. Obviously, we have a hard time communicating. And I'm going to make the suggestion that we get into couples therapy to either learn how to do it and stay together in a healthy way or break up and progress and evolve as individuals, you know, that can go on and have healthy relationships with other people. That's exactly how you do it.
Jill's right, because you're not making an accusation. You're actually just really stating the facts that, you know, that's undeniable. That really is happening and he's really responding that way and you're wanting to move forward and initiate more intimacy after a justifiable amount of time and it's being met with resistance. And so at that point, it's not saying anything about what one person feels about the other. It's saying we need to take a look at how we're operating and coasting
the dynamic.
Without the communication, and it needs to happen because, you know, there's things I want and there's things you want and we need to figure out how to get there.
Either together or apart.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense to me. I'm hearing it and it makes sense. And I'm sure when I listen back to this, I'll be just dying with laughter because it's like, oh my God, I did not see this the first time. It's so clear.
You won't be dying with laughter at all.
Laughter or tears, one or the other.
Right. Sure. Yes. Yeah, honey. And I think this is definitely going to be a bigger issue for you, but I'm going to tell you right now that this is the way you need to proceed, and this is the issue at hand. And because, you know, I promise you, you're not aware of it, and it would take a great therapist a while to help you become aware of its origin. But this is where your work is going to lie.
Yeah. No, I'm realizing it may become that suggestion followed by, well, why are we, you know, why do we need therapy? Maybe we should just go our opposite directions, which terrifies me. But
babe,
obviously, we're going to get there eventually if we don't do the therapy. So
of course you will.
By all
you'll
means.
Just become so resentful and so angry that you'll end it anyway, sweetie. And that is why you're afraid. You're afraid to push him because you're afraid that you'll lose him. And you're already going to lose him anyway because you're either going to fall out of love with him and resent the hell out of him, or you're going to push him and he's going to run, which means he's not the right guy for you. And we all have a fear of being alone. We all do. But there are times in our life where it's just 100% necessary.
Yeah, I agree.
To evolve and to grow. And in that, like, where does it, you find yourself in the free fall of life. It won't kill you. Ultimately, it will make you stronger. Right? Because as I said, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. This won't kill you. This will ultimately make you stronger. And it really is your only way forward.
I hear you. It just feels like it's like cutting off a limb, but we're not there yet. There's a conversation, many conversations to be had. I'm already thinking about the worst.
You need to start those conversations.
I would hate to speak to you in 5 years saying things haven't changed, but we're still coasting. He doesn't feel we're as intimate as we could, but you know, we've got four more roommates, so now we live in a commune.
Yeah, no, you have to know that you deserve better than that and you're worthy of a relationship, even though it's so hard to say that, you know, when you're in it. I get that. We've all been there. So just try to be really true to yourself.
And by the way, your fear of being alone has made you alone. You're not communicating. You are alone, sweetie. You're alone in this relationship.
Yes. Alone with my four other roommates. But right. Yes.
You know what I'm saying, though. You don't have intimacy. Hence, you're alone in this relationship. The wrong relationship can make you feel more alone than being alone. Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Have you been there for 6 years?
No, sweetheart. And you know why? I was in a very abusive relationship for 6 years, but I wasn't in the... I wasn't in that one for 6 years, but I was in it. I was in it for two.
I guess it's easy to stay. It's easy to not do anything about it. You're totally right, though. That's what I'm doing.
It's easy, not really. You're not actually looking at how much pain it's causing you.
That's probably true.
You're taking incremental bouts of pain that you're moderating instead of just ripping off the Band-Aid because you're afraid of that initial pain. But you take the hit, and then it gets better. Right now, you are just gradually increasing the pain because it's not getting better, and it's just going to get worse.
You are so right. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it. I never thought you'd take my call, so I'm so thrilled. And I know everyone says it and gets all fangirl, but really, I love you, and I'm so thankful for, you know, what you do and sharing your life with everybody and whatnot. So,
Sweetheart, this will get better, but only if you deal with it, okay?
It for
will
sure.
get better, and you will heal, and you will be stronger for it, but only if you deal with it. You're strong enough to do this. You can do this.
Right.
Okay?
And let us, keep us posted, and, you know, and don't, we all do this, so don't be hard on yourself. And let us know what happens, because we read those emails, so we want to hear how it went.
Okay.
Good luck, Natalie.
I absolutely will.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I hate that. I hate feeling that way.
It's
the worst.
We've all been there. We've all done it.
You have. Just think, well, if I do nothing and I don't rock the boat, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Because you're avoiding that primal abandonment.
Yeah.
She's terrified.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, she's abandoned in the relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's such the great irony of fear.
And she knows. Like, she hasn't even talked to him yet, but she knows he's going to say...
She's afraid to even tell him I would like to work on our communication. Poor baby.
Like you said, like the irony, she already knows how he's going to react. She already knows actually who she's with.
Yes.
And who she is with him.
Yep, she sure does.
So it's a self-worth issue.
You know what, though? I'll just say this. Look, we've all been there, and I've way overstayed in abusive relationships, and these things take their time, and... But when you get there and you're ready, you get there and you're ready. And she'll get there and she'll be ready.
Yeah, I agree. Amen.
All right, people. I got to get home. I got a million kids at home.
Me too.
Well, three dogs. Two. No, you don't.
I have nothing.
Okay, new sponsor. Check this out. Varidesk. And you know what's interesting? You guys already know about this because I know I've talked about it on the podcast. It's a thing that attaches to your desk to make it adjustable so you can stand up and work. So let's go over this. The average user can burn as many as 130 additional calories per day by replacing 4 hours of sitting with 4 hours of standing. That's the equivalent calorie burning of running a 10K every week. Way better for your body, way better for your posture, way better for aches and pains. It ships fully assembled. It's ready to use right out of the box. They have models starting as low as $275. Varidesk is an affordable and efficient way to retrofit your existing desk to a stand-up desk so you do not need to spend a fortune buying a new desk. So what are you guys waiting for? Visit varidesk.com for more information. That's varidesk.com. Hey, Autumn, why haven't I been given a free one so I can use it while I'm doing the podcast? Hint, 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 hint. We'll be right back.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.